that we haven't sang. You could maybe see that. I was thinking that we have a theme song that we used to sing, but we haven't sung it in a long time. I Must Tell Jesus. So we're gonna get back to that one day. Amen. So amen. Glad to see Dr. Duboutin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the God for him. Amen. Thank God. And we're gonna get into the word of the Lord, because you know we do have another service to go to. Pastor Johnny Leonard will be celebrating her 19th pastoral anniversary. And she certainly is a tremendous supporter of ours. I don't care what's going on, she gonna show up. So I dare not stay away. So we're gonna go and bless her. And certainly she's been a tremendous blessing to us. And the word of faith there in Frankfort, Kentucky. I want to be as brief as possible today, because we do have that full day. We got other things on the agenda. But we're going to go into the word of the Lord. Our scripture text today is in Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. We honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly to our assistant pastor, amen, Dr. Thomas Presley, and my second assistant pastor, Evangelist Jones, and Ella Smith, and amen to Evangelist Duncan. You know, missing people today that are not here. Pray for them, whatever the circumstances are. We pray that all is well. See, one thing about protocol, when you're not coming, you're supposed to call your pastor, tell him you're not coming. So y'all pass the word on to them. Amen. That's proper protocol. I thought we learned that by now. Amen. We'll pray that all is well. Amen. Revelation chapter number 18, verses 1 through 4. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read two versions. That's the King James Version. For clarity, I'm going to also read the New Living Translation. And it reads, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, Babylon, the great is fallen. It has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. That sounds like a country I live in. And a cage of every unclean, hateful bird. For all nations shall drunk the wine of her wrath and of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her. My people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plague. Now we're going to go to the Living Translation, just for a little clarity. And it reads, after all this, I saw another angel come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with his splendor. He gave a mighty shout. Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen. She has become a home for demons. She is a hideout for every foul spirit, a hideout for every foul vulture and every foul and dreadful animal. In the last two verses, says, for all nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her. Because her desires for extravagant luxury, because of her desire for extravagant luxuries, the merchants of the world have grown rich. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven unto me, calling me away from her. My people, do not take part in thy sins, or you will be punished with her. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, what powerful. So we're going to speak today from the topic, it's time to get out of the rut. It's time to get out of the rut. You may sit, be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's time to get out of the rut. Anybody in the rut? It's time to get out.
Yes.
Now, you know, being a country boy down on the farm, I know a whole lot about ruts.
Yes.
And how ruts are created. So we got two or three definitions of a rut. One says, a rut is a long, deep track made by the repeated passage of wheels or vehicle. Another definition, a rut is a habit,
yes,
or a pattern of behavior that has become dull and unproductive, but it's hard to change.
Amen.
Some people have in a rut because of the habits they have. Mm-hmm. Then the third definition is a boring routine, humdrum existence, habit, dead end. No, these are definitions of a rut. And I wanted to know that if you look at these things, I want to know if you're in a rut.
Amen.
Especially to the church. I feel that we that are in the church sometimes, we're just in a rut.
Amen.
And think about a rut. If you stay in that too long, you'll destroy yourself. Because when I was on a farm, you know, we had a whole bunch of different variety of equipment. You know, we had wagons, we had tractors, we had plows and combines and mowers and rakes and all those kinds of things. But one thing I noticed about the wagon, we would go to and fro to haul a lot of stuff. And over a period of time, going back and forth, those wagon wheels made a rut. And sometimes, in those ruts, they not only became ruts, but they had, you know, other bumps,
yes,
potholes, they called them. And as we went back and forth over that rut, the danger was with the wagon. I'm a farm boy. The wagon, sometimes we will break an axle, or you might break a wheel, or you might bring some damage to that wagon, because we kept going back and forth over the rut, over the hole, over the pothole. Common sense ought to tell you, if you're destroying something, you ought to change the pothole, get out of the pothole. Lord, oh, help me today. Hallelujah. Now, we had an option of going back in this rut, therefore making it deeper the more we went in that rut. Or we could sort of, you know, go over to the side and just cut down a few bushes and create another space and sort of go on the other side of the rut. Instead of going back in the rut, you got to find another way to go. But sometimes we get stuck in a routine. We keep going over and over and over again and again, destroying ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And I bring that to the church. Amen. We sometimes we're in a spiritual rut. But we see doing the same thing over and over and over again,
yeah,
and not going anywhere. Lord, have mercy. Help us today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But when I was on the farm, one thing I did notice is Dr. Purser, I decided to change my direction. I went another route. And when I went another route, sister, brothers, I found out that it was smoother. And I also had to go up a hill to get to where I was going. But you know what? I didn't complain about going up the hill, because going up the hill took me higher.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord have mercy. Y'all need to go higher in God. I kept going in the same rut, and I get the same results. Lord have mercy. Now. Y'all just hold on to me right now. Amen. Sometimes we are in a rut. Our eyes are in a rut. We watch the same old ungodly things over and over and over again. Need to get out of that rut. Sometimes our ears are in a rut. We listen to things that we should not be listening to. Lord have mercy. No, I didn't say anything. Hallelujah. Our thoughts are in a rut. We think things over and over that they're not like God. But Paul said, I believe Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if that be any praise, be any virtue, think on these things. If your mind is in a rut, amen, you got to change the way you think. Now, I believe that sometimes our marriages get in a rut. Y'all ain't going to say nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. The honeymoon is over. Hallelujah. And your marriage get in a rut. But I noticed one thing in talking to couples. It's amazing to me that when they're in this rut, even one always talk about what the other one is not doing. Hallelujah. I have never found out, Dr. Percy, anybody told me what they were doing. Y'all hold on now, amen. It's amazing to me that you can know whatever your wife or your husband is doing, and you want to tell that, why not tell what you're doing? You're in a rut. Hallelujah. Why don't you say, I don't pick up after myself? Well, I mean, just you know, because I want to know about you. I yell. I slammed the door. Why don't you tell me that? Lord have mercy. In a rut. Why don't you tell me you never tell your wife or your husband I love you? Why don't you tell me that? Confession is good for the soul. Hallelujah. It's amazing to me that it's always the other fellow. It's always the wife. It's always the husband and not me. But I think the next session I had with the wife and the husband, I won't say that. Tell me your bad habits. I don't hear anything about your wife. I don't want anything about yourself. Tell me your bad habits. Then I think if you begin to talk about your bad habits, you may find out you're the problem. But sometimes it's in a rut, and we don't want to tell ourselves. Sometimes we're in a rut with our family members. For years and years and years, can't get along with the blood sister, can't get along with the blood brother, can't get along with the mother-in-law, can't get along with the father-in-law. What? And we are saved and sanctified on our way to heaven and now in a rut. You can't get to heaven in a rut. Lord, have mercy. Oh, help me get this through, Lord. But sometimes we can't get along with our family members. Can't get along with our sister-in-laws, our brother-in-laws. You're in a rut. The scripture says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I'm just going to talk to you today. Sometimes we're in a rut with our co-workers. Can't get along with folks on the job. You're in a rut. Hallelujah. We are Holy Ghost sanctified field folks. We don't have an excuse for not getting along with folks. I don't care what they say about you. They don't have to like you. But you can't fight evil with evil. But when you get in a rut, you try to do what they do. You don't want them to have the last say. You're in a rut. You're in a rut. Listen. Even in the church, there are folks in the rut because they can't get along with each other. was just going to be quiet. Shh. Hallelujah. I don't know how you could be in the church of God testifying that you're Holy Ghost filled on your way to heaven and got somebody in the church sitting next to you across from you and you can't get along with him. You're in a rut. You got to get out of that rut. You're not going to make it in with that kind of an attitude. You're in a rut. It's time to come up out of our rut. Now, I'm about 5 more minutes. I think I'll be through. Now listen. Some folks come to church emotionally drained. And they're so emotionally drained, they can't have any emotion for praising God. Oh, y'all hear what I'm saying? Come to church just emotionally drained and can't get in touch with God. Listen, trying to connect with the Spirit of God while still connected to the emotional high they got from watching the late show the night before church. Oh, have mercy. I'm going to say that one more time because I wrote it down. Hallelujah. Amen. Trying to connect with the Spirit of God while still connected to the emotional high they got from watching the late show the night before they came to church. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Some folks have sleep deprivation from staying up all night before church. So they fall asleep in the church despite of all the singing, all the music, and all the drum roll. They fall asleep. Sleep deprivation because they were watching the late show. Lord have mercy. Y'all ain't listening. Are y'all listening? They are physically here, but emotionally, they're stuck in last night. You know, am I talking about anybody? They're physically sitting in the church, but they're stuck in last night, what they were looking at last night, and trying to get a connection. It won't work. You're in a rut. We need to get out of that rut. Thank you, Jesus. In some cases, they can't stay awake long enough to see the end of their favorite show they're watching, so they tape it to watch it later. And if you're not careful, the enemy will have you sitting right up in church wondering how the show ended. Y'all, I'm real. I'm just being real now, right? And so they can't wait to get back home to look to see how it ended. Have all this stuff going on in church and wonder why you can't get in touch with God. With all this stuff, you're stuck in a rut. It's time to get out of the rut. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we're so stuck in a rut that we come to, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about you. Sometimes you're so stuck in a rut, the devil have you sitting up in church. Your mind is gone this way. Amen. You're thinking about the clothes you got to wash tomorrow. Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You're thinking about the clothes you got to iron tomorrow when you go to work. You, right up in church, supposed to be thinking about that stuff and trying to get. God said, wait a minute, why aren't you thinking about me? We'd be sitting right up in church. And we'd be thinking about what's going to happen on the job tomorrow. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You think about, what am I going to wear tomorrow? Sitting right up. How can you get in contact with God? All that stuff on your mind. You're stuck in a rut. It's time to get out of that rut. He's sitting up in church having flashbacks. Hallelujah. Glory. I mean, the devil plays tricks on your mind. He talks to your mind. He brings stuff to you. The church can be, folks can be shouting and praising and magnifying God, and you just as stiff as a board. I ain't patting one hand, not stomp one foot. But at the club, you're going. I mean, you, amen. You would get, you don't know, I'm a dance floor, but you hear the music. You going to it. But come to church and just, you're in a rut. Got to get out. It's time to get out of the rut. Because a rut gets so bumpy sometimes and get potholes, and you keep going over in the same rut, you're going to destroy yourself. Time to get out of the rut. That's why in our scripture text today, those folks were in a rut. They had gone into Babylon, and Babylon had become so ungodly. The scripture says the angel came to proclaim the fall of Babylon. Yes. And he assigned the reason why Babylon had fallen, and he gave warning to the church, to the people of God, you better get out of there because you're participating in the things that Babylon is doing. You're in a rut right with him. He said, if you don't come out of that rut, if you don't quit doing the thing that they have done, you're going to accept and receive the punishment that's coming to them. Amen. God said, I'm getting ready to do something to them. And because you're a participant in that deeds, God said, it's going to happen to you. I said to myself when I read this scripture, this sure sounds like the country that I live in. Hallelujah. Because it says, you have become a home for demons. That was Babylon. You know, you don't have the Babylon, don't you? They fail. Babylon is part of a few miles down the road from Iraq right now, where there used to be Babylon over in that area. But the scripture said the Babylon has fallen. She has become a home of demons. This country was founded upon religious principles. But Lord, it went out there, wasn't a long time ago. Oh, if you really want them to pass a law against something, it'll be against religious activities. Everybody can have their own agenda. The lesbian, all these folks having sex changes, and all these folks, men marrying men, and women marrying men, and they want their rights, and everybody want to speak to, okay, we're going to pass a law for that. But put up a nativity scene, no, you can't do that. Pray in school, you can't do that. No, you Ten Commandments, no, you can't do that. America's in a rut. And if they don't get themselves out of this rut, they're going to receive the vengeance of God. If you don't believe it, ask Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah got so much in a rut, the Bible says, they were doing every ungodly thing under the sun. And a whole lot of illicit activity, especially homosexuality, was so prevalent in Sodom and Gomorrah that God sent the angels down to destroy the whole city. He told Lot and his family, now y'all get out of here because we're going to destroy the city. But Lot's son-in-law said, man, no, we're having a good time. We can know with a party tonight. No, we got, it's on the agenda. Party every night. Yes. He said, we can't leave. He said, okay, we're going to take my wife and my daughters and leave you in Lot. Amen. But said, when you go out of there, don't look back. Wishing you were back there, don't look back. Amen. Well, you know the story. That when they got on the outskirts of the city, God sent fire and brimstone to destroy the whole city, everybody in it. And Mrs. Lot thought about her china set and her fur coats and her luxuries. And the Bible says she looked back, and when she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, she had gotten out of the rut. Why turn back? The Bible says if you get out of that rut and turn back, he said, the scripture says you look like a dog returning to his vomit. That's pretty nasty. Get out of the rut and stay out of the rut. And close with this. I want to finish what I said here. I said, sound like this is the city, the country that I'm living in. He said, she is a hideout for demons, for every foul vulture, and every dreadful animal, for all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. Because of the wine of her passionate for immorality. I have never seen so much immorality in my day in America. That says on the dollar bill and all on the coin, in God we trust. But the scripture says immorality. Used to be there was censorship on what you could say on TV. Amen. But Lord have mercy. You can hardly watch any show on TV where they're going to say vulgar language. They're going to curse, get naked, have sex right on your TV, and you sitting there looking at it. Ooh, what's that? Don't you know the TV has a remote?
Yes.
And it has a change station button on it. But if you're in a rut, you're going to sit right there and listen at it. Look at it. That's why I say you got to be careful what goes in your eye gate, your ear gate, because if it's long enough, it'll turn you into what you're watching. I'm talking to church folks. You can't watch that stuff. Then come to church and shout. No. The Bible says you, when he talked to the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation, he said, listen, you got this, you got that, you got that. He said, but you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one way or the other. Be hot or cold, but don't be pretend you saved in the church and you're watching every ungodly thing outside the church. He said, because you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I can't stand you.
Hallelujah.
That's what it said to the church of Laodicea. So he says, the kings of the world have committed adultery with her. Because of her desires for extravagant luxury. That's what the world is going to. It's great to have great things, but don't let great things have you. Then he says, he gave the church a warning. You in that rut? He said, look, I want you to come out of her, come away from her. Lest if you don't, if you take part of her sins, I will also let you take part of a punishment.
Amen. Amen.
I'm getting out of the rut. I'm preaching to myself too.
Yes.
Amen. Folks like to hear something that's going to tickle their head and make them feel good. To me, this ought to make you feel good. If God says something today that stepped into your avenue, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. Because the Bible says, those I love, I chasten. I don't want to come to no church. Oh, they're talking about God's going to give you the God. God, no. No, you're going to get this tomorrow. I see too. Hallelujah. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. Folks, oh, glory to God. The preacher said, the prophet said. And but how many folk told you about your mess and you're going where you're here? I want to hear from God to let me know I'm on the wrong road. I don't want to be going thinking I'm saved and I'm not, because I've been down that road before. I knew I wasn't saved, but I convinced myself that I was. You can talk yourself into a lie. Doing stuff I knew was wrong, but I had no power to keep me from doing. But oh, with the advent of the Holy Ghost, oh, what a difference it made in my life. I got out of that rut. I got out of that rut of speaking vulgar language, profanity, hallelujah, drinking, amen, slitched beer, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord have mercy. That was me back in the day. Hallelujah. And I knew better, but I didn't do better. There are folks who know better, but don't do better. And that's when you get stuck in a rut. Amen. You just keep going. And the more you go, the deeper that rut gets, and gets so deep down in the rut you can't get out. But I thank God he picked me out of that rut and saved my soul. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. The last text I'm going to give you is out of the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke. Now, you know this story real good. This is a story about a young man who got himself into a rut. As a matter of fact, he talked himself into a rut. I mean, he had it made. Living in his father's house, he had money in his pocket, he had placed the roof over his head, and didn't want for anything. But he allowed the devil to convince him that he could be better out on his own. Yeah. Out on his own. So the Bible says in Luke 15, verse 11, it said, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion now. Whatever my inheritance is, I want it now, that please give it. And the Bible said his father divided them among his living. Well, okay, go, son. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all his stuff together and took his trip into a far country. And there he wasted his substance, the riotous living. Wasn't satisfied with being in church, serving God, being in his father's house, obeying his father. And that's who we are, father's children. But he said, no, I want to get out on my own. I'm grown. I want to go out and I'm going to have a good time. And the Bible said, and when he had spent all. Okay, how much money you got? If you don't take care of it, it'll get away from you. Ask some of these high-paid, multi-million-dollar athletes, amen, that had multiple million. What this player from the University of Kentucky had made over $40 million in his lifetime? He broke. How can you go broke on $40 million? But some folks have made $200 million, $400 million. Mike Tyson made over $400 million, broke, and trying to make a comeback. So, but the Bible said this man began to spend all of his money. And he's in a rut now. He talked himself into that rut. You can talk yourself into a rut. So the Bible said he spent all of his money. And when he spent all of his money, a mighty famine arose in the land. Yes. Now, and he said he began to be in want. All of a sudden he found out he was so deep in a rut. How did I get here? A few days ago, I had a whole lot of money. I was buying stuff for everybody, having a party every night. But all of a sudden, I don't have any more money. He said, well, what am I going to do? He said he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and the employer sent him into the field to feed swines. He done got so low out of his father's house now, now he's out in the hog pen feeding hogs. The hog, and he's out there with him watching them eat. And he said, and he would fain fill his belly with the husk that the swine did. He said, boy, it crunched real good. He looking at me, I wonder if I eat some of that. Look how deep he sunk into himself, into this hole. He said, I wonder what that tastes like. I'm hungry. And listen. And he would fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Oh, what happened to all of his friends when he had all that money? Yes. He had all kinds of friends. They party time, okay, I'll be there. He said, I'm broke. Okay, brother, feel for you. He's broke. When you're in God, this typifies. This prodigal son typifies a person who's in God, they're in church, and they decide they can do better outside church. That's what this analogy is. He left his place of comfort where his father was going to protect him, provide for him, and that's the same thing in the church. God's watching out for your spiritual soul. But he says sometimes we go outside of God feeling we can make it on our own. We got plenty of friends out there. If something happens, they're going to come to my aid. I got news for you. They won't. He said, no man gave unto him. But you know what I love about this young man? Verse number 17 says, and when he came to himself, he woke up and like, why am I out here in a hawk pen? He finally found out, wait a minute, what's going on here? Sometimes you can't get out of the rut until you come to yourself. Realize I'm heading in the wrong direction. Who am I talking to today? I'm in the wrong direction. He said, how many hired servants my father have bread enough to spare? Yes, yes, yes. Be it I'm sitting out here in a hog pen perishing with hunger. He says, here's what I'm going to do. Since I've come to myself, then I got to decide to make a change. Nobody can make a change for you. They can talk to you, pray, but you have to make that individual. It's an individual thing. Your sister, your brother, your father, mother, the preacher can't make that change for you. They can tell you need to make a change, but it's up to you to do it. Right. So he says he came to himself. He said, wait a minute. I'm deep in the rut. He said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm getting out of here. I don't belong here. Then he says, I will rise and go to my father. And when I get there, I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But just make me a hired servant. Look at the spirit of humility he had. Yes, yes. All of a sudden, when he left home, he was all high and mighty. I want my stuff now. I'm going to go out and have myself a good time. I might die. I might not get to enjoy all this. You know, so he said, but he came back with an humble spirit. And sometimes when folks leave the church, they're doing everything they want to do and come back like God owes them something. But you got to have an humble spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. When I got ready to come back into the church of God and really get my life together, I didn't come in like I've been an angel all my life. Lord, look at me, y'all. My father was a Baptist minister. I've been in church all my life, and I've been in Sunday school. I tell you, I was a good old boy. I mean, I didn't get my mom and dad in no trouble. I was just good. But there was a rotten as a barrel of rotten apples, and done all kinds of ungodly stuff. Hallelujah. Knowing better, I should have died in my sin. I didn't deserve to be saved, but the mercy of God said, I love you anyhow. And if he did it for me, I don't care what you've been in, what you involved in, there's no death that God can't pull you out of. So don't let the devil talk to you. You're going down too far. You can't get up any further. But God said, I'll reach down and pick you up and save your soul. Don't have to stay in that rut. I stayed in a rut too long. And the things that I could have had, I can't go back and get. Because I let the opportunity pass me by. But I thank God that he pulled me out. But I made up my mind, Dr. Pursley, that I wanted to get out of where I was. And this young man made up his mind, I'm going back home. And I'm going to tell my father when I get there. He said, I made a mistake. I never should have left home. And I'm not going to come back with an arrogant attitude. We don't come back with an humble spirit. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. But if you just hire me as one of your servants, I work for you the rest of my life. But the Bible says, and this typifies what God says to you when you make your decision to turn around. And he arose and came to his father. Listen, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him.
Yes.
No matter that he just got out of the hog pen.
Uh-huh.
He said, that's him. That's my boy. He's smelling like a hog. Clothes are dirty. Grown a beard. He's just walking. He's smelling too good. He said, but that's my boy. That's my boy. I know his walk. He said his son was way down the road. He hadn't seen him for years. He doesn't look like what he left home with, but he knew his boy. I don't care what you've been into, God still knows you. Hallelujah. God said, I still know you. I have not forgotten about you. He said his father ran to him and just grabbed by his neck, and the boy smelling like a hog.
Yes.
He put his arms around and kissed him. Said, this is my son.
Yes. Yes.
That's just like God. When we weren't even worthy to be held,
yes,
God puts his arms around us. Folks will put you down and talk about you and criticize you. But God is always listening, looking, saying, I wish my child would come home. I love my son. I love my daughter. So the Bible said this father loved him and hugged him and kissed him. Then not only that, his father said to the servants, here's what I want you to do. Bring me a robe.
Yeah.
No. He said, bring me the best robe. Now, the boy just got out of a hog pen. But bring me the best robe. Bring me a ring and put on his finger. Why? And bring the fatted calf and kill it and let's have a party. For my son was dead. He was in a rut.
But he got out of that rut. He's alive again. He was lost and found, and they began to be merry. Get out of the rut. I've given you avenues in which you can get in the rut and how easy it is to get in the rut. But you can just as easy to get out of it. God provided a way for you to get out of a rut. America is in a rut. But God has provided in his word before America was even America. He provided a way for America to get out of his rut. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will heal the land, I will forgive their sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, get out of the rut. It's time to get out of the rut. If you stay in the rut, you're going to suffer with the rutties. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I am determined to make it with God. Put your hand together and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm through. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're in a rut. Now that's a tough message, y'all. But you know, you got to hear something sometime that shock your senses. Amen. God is real. Things are happening today. And I'm telling you, life is so unpredictable. You're not sure you're going to make it tomorrow. When we leave for today and get on the road driving our car, we're not guaranteed to make it back home. That's reality. But sometimes we get in such a rut and such a routine, we just assume certain things are going to happen. But I'm telling you, the Bible said, in all of thy ways acknowledge God, and he will direct thy path. I ask God, no matter where I go, I put God ahead of me. I'm not any better than anybody else, but I do recognize God. I don't make an assumption about God, what's going to happen to me. I believe that God has assigned each one of us a guardian angel. I really believe that. You might not be able to see it, but sometimes the angel can ward off things that could have happened to you, but God didn't let it happen because the angel was watching over you. This angel came down and warned God's people, you're in a rut. You need to get out of here. This is a wicked city. Babylon's going to fall. It's all, matter of fact, that Babylon has fallen. But the things that's going to come upon Babylon, if you don't get out of there, those very things that happen to them will happen to you. But I'm so glad that we serve a merciful God. So if you're here today, want to pray for you. Amen. God said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Praise our God. Hallelujah. That song said, I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will listen. I will listen today. Maybe one or two people talking about the falling of the Holy Ghost. And I took that as a word from God that the Holy Ghost is about to fall in this place. Y'all ain't said nothing. All the Holy Ghost folks should have said, hey, man. See, y'all, what kind of church y'all in? Amen. When your pastor proclaims something, you got to say, amen. Don't you want the children filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. I want my grandchildren, all my children filled with the Holy Ghost. I really do. Amen. I want them to be filled. And everybody in here that's not filled with the Holy Ghost, I want God to fill them. And I believe God's going to be using our young people. The Holy Ghost start falling one day. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Chairs are going to be turned over. They're going to be running through the building. Hallelujah. Hey, glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. God has said, and after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. And you cannot get yourself out of that rut. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to get you out of that. Because the enemy will take control of your mind. And even after you get the Holy Ghost, he gonna mess with your mind. But you got the power to resist him. The Bible said, the scripture said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I don't care what your title is, pastor, bishop, archbishop, pope, whoever you are. The devil will mess with your mind. They tempted Jesus. But he said he was tempted yet without sin. Then he said, for us who are mortals down here, even when you are tempted, you don't have to yield. Not by what I said, but the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but even with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God has provided a way out. And I hope that you go through the week thinking on these words. I hope I planted the seed in your mind and your spirit. Say, look, I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I want to be. But by the help of God, I'm going to get there. And we're going to be praying for you in Jesus' name. Put your hands together one more time and praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God, wonderful Savior. It's time. Amen. To come out of the rut. Then you say the truth shall make, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. That's what I've tried to give you. The truth out of the word of the Lord. Not out of Bishop Jones's mouth, but out of the word of the Lord. God bless you. We love you. Get ready to time, receive our offering and our tithing. All a part of our worship. Hallelujah. Be God given, no matter how you try. The more you give, the more he'll give to you. Just keep on giving. Because it's really true that you can't beat God-given.